Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
I'm going to have Josh before I bring the word tonight. Josh is a dear friend, and he's been with us for a while playing drums, and he definitely is part of the team in Teen Challenge, and I just wanted him to share a little bit of his testimony. So why don't you welcome Josh as he shares a little bit of his heart tonight.
Thank you. You're welcome, buddy. Man, let me take a breath real quick. I've been going all day. I'm out of breath. No, a couple days ago, Bob had asked me just to share a little bit, you know, about my journey with the Lord and where I'm at presently and where I've been. It's been a long road. You know, I'm only 26 years old, but in my younger days, you know, I put myself through a rough, dark path, and it took a toll on my life. But I'm thankful today that I can use that now to share the Lord's glory, give glory to Him ultimately for what's happened in my life and the changes that He has made in my life. You know, I'm originally from Dallas, Texas. That's my wife back there, Arlette. She's on PowerPoint right now. We just moved here to Elkhart. Thank you, yes. We just moved here about 8 months ago now. It was a leading of the Lord. You know, I had been working before here and knowing that the Lord was calling me to something more, but I didn't quite know what it was. And He finally directed us here very clearly, very plainly, and I'm thankful for that. To share a little bit about where I've been, like I said, I'm originally from Dallas, Texas. As a young kid growing up, you know, I've got the same testimony as a lot of guys here, you know. Was making my own choices, I knew the Lord. I had a relationship with the Lord. I actually grew up in the youth group. I was kind of a key component in the church, quote unquote. You know, nobody really knew what was going on behind the scenes. But from the time that I was 13 years old, I just began to seek after a lifestyle that was self-serving, you know, filled with lust, filled with selfish ways, and that started at 13. It kept going till I was about 19 years old until I was looking at time in prison. But before I ever got locked up that final time and headed to prison, the Lord met me in a mighty way. I remember June 10th, 2008, I'm sitting in the floor of a mobile home. It's midnight, all the lights are out. I'm sitting Indian style in the floor, and I'd come to the end of my road. You know, I had seen most all at that point. You know, for a 19-year-old to see and go through some of the things that I experienced, it shouldn't be. But I did, and I put myself through that. But on this day, I had just come to the end of my road, and I find myself sitting there. I remember I had called all my drug dealers. I remember I had called all my girlfriends. I had called all my guy friends, everything that I used to use to fill that emptiness in my life. On this night, I had reached out to, and none of it was there. And I remember being there all alone, so I thought. And I remember just looking up from the floor and saying, Josh, what are you doing with your life? You've got a good family that loves you. They care for you. They want to support you. They want to help you. You know who Jesus is. What are you doing with your life? And I honestly believe that that was probably one of the most forward, progressive, positive thoughts that had entered into my mind in a long time. And I believe that the enemy wanted to combat that. And I remember it was very clear to me on that night. It's like a cartoon. You see the angel on the left shoulder and the demon on the right shoulder. Well, I'm a witness to that scenario. That night I'm sitting in the floor, and that moment whenever I spoke those positive words out, the enemy came and he wanted to crush those positive words. And I remember what he said to me. He said, Josh, keep doing what you're doing. It'll be okay. You're getting ready to go to jail. You can figure all these things out whenever you get locked up. But for now, man, live it up. Because you're getting ready to get locked up for a long time. So live it up. And that's what he said to me. And that was the last that I saw of him that night. Because at that moment, the Lord entered into the room. And looking back on it now, I'm amazed at probably the things that took place leading up to that. I can see it. In that day, the Lord looked down and he said, "Today is my son's day. I'm coming to get him. There's nothing he can do about it. Today is his day." And he came and he met me that night. And I remember what he said to me, because as soon as the enemy got through speaking, the Lord was there as well. And he spoke very clearly and he spoke very vividly. And what he said to me was, "If you believe that lie, then you're a fool and you'll be doing this for the rest of your life. If you want to be delivered of these chains that bind you, the only solution is to surrender your life to me." See, I had a bad case of, "I'm a good person." I had a bad case of, "I got a good family. I'm going to snap out of this one day." And my parents even would assist me in that. "Oh, it's just childish things." But there's nothing childish about breaking into people's houses. There's nothing childish about the things that I was doing. You couldn't trust me. I was a very untrustworthy person. I was a horrible person. But the Lord loved me. And he met me that night and he said, "If you believe that lie, then you're a fool and you'll be doing this for the rest of your life. The only thing that's going to relieve you of these chains is that you surrender your life to me. If you're waiting on an easy day, today's as easy as it gets. Because with each new day that you walk into this addiction, it gets deeper. It grabs more of a hold. It gets stronger. If you're waiting for an easy day, today is the easiest day." And I remember that kind of nailed the coffin shut for me. You know, that made sense, because I remember thinking, you know, "I'll be ready one day. I'll be ready one day." But what the Lord was saying is today is the day. And I remember he offered me a simple invitation. And he said, "Surrender." And guys, I can honestly say that I truly, fully understand what the word means when it says that we cannot take any glory for any good that is in our life. Because at that moment, when the Lord offered me that invitation of surrender, it was almost like he was tricking me, because not only did he offer it to me, but he took it from me. And whenever he offered me, "Josh, surrender," and I simply agreed, "Yes, Lord," that's all I said. My spirit connected with his spirit, and we agreed on one thing, and that is, "I'm turning my life over to you, Lord." And in that moment, in that instant, immediately, miraculously, like the miracles that you read about in the Bible, I was delivered and I was healed and I was changed in that second, in that millisecond, not 3 weeks later. And I'm very, very thankful. I'm very, very thankful to be able to have that testimony, because I do understand that that's not the case all the time. And I don't know why God chose to miraculously deliver me the way that he did, but I'm very, very thankful. 3 weeks later, well, from that moment on, I was on a road after Jesus. There was no question. There was no looking back. And I was just seeking after Jesus from that moment on. That was the first night that I had went to sleep in my own bed with peace in my heart. And not having to have anything to, you know, help fill that void. I remember I got up from that floor and I went and I laid down in bed and I went to sleep. And now that may not sound like much to some of you, but if you were where I was, then you understand, you know, there's no peace in that. And I had no peace and I couldn't even sleep at night unless I was drunk or high or, you know, all kinds of other crazy stuff. But that night I did. And that was the first night in a long time. So I was on a journey, you know, and 3 weeks later, I get the sheriff's department shows up at my work, and they cuff me, they take me in because of things that I had previously done. So I'm sitting in the county jail, I'm facing prison. To make a long story short, I end up going to prison. And while I was there for 9 months, And while I was there, I just continued to serve the Lord, continued to seek Him as best I could. There was critics. There was people that were saying that I had jailhouse religion, but I did not have jailhouse religion. I had a true relationship with the Lord, and that was all there was to it, and I didn't care what anybody thought. So I go to prison. I'm there for 9 months. Before I go to prison, while I'm in the county, the Lord reveals Teen Challenge to me. And I'm thinking, oh, this is my answered prayer. I'm going to Teen Challenge. Well, I still went to prison. So at the end of my nine-month run in prison, the Lord reminded me, hey, remember Teen Challenge? Yeah, I was calling you to that. And my call doesn't change. And it's in my timing, yes. And I remember thinking, but wait, you know, I'm good. I'm ready to go, man. I'm ready to get out of here. I'm ready to go serve you, God. I'm ready to go be with my family and be the son and the brother that I've always wanted to be. I'm really ready, God. Let me do this. And I remember Him just saying, remember that night? You told me you were going to surrender to me. You told me you were going to follow me. This is your first big opportunity to follow me. And you know what? I knew what I had to do. And so I got out of prison. I spent about a month with my family. And then I head off to Teen Challenge in Texas. Go through there. You know, I'm going to make a long story short. Go through there. I experienced awesome things, man. Teen Challenge, if y'all don't know, you know, we're Teen Challenge. All these guys here in the center, they're in an awesome place in their life. And they may not even know it. But they're in just such a blessed environment and opportunity right now. But you know, I just experienced awesome things there. God really lifted my spirit. He really filled me with who He was and what He wanted me to know and what He wanted me to have. And He used that year and a half of my life to train me and get me ready to go out and do what He had next. So I'm there and you know, I'm being faithful. I'm going to complete it. You know, that's a big struggle. You know, you're in a place for a year that you don't have to be. And, you know, the door's open. It's real easy for guys to go. But I knew for a fact that the Lord wanted me to stay. And so I stayed faithful. I did that. And He proved Himself faithful. And not long before I was getting ready to leave, He really impressed it on my heart that I need to begin seeking out what's next. And so I did that. I began praying, Lord, what's next? My life is Yours. I'm surrendered to You. What do You want for me? I'll go be a missionary. I'll go be a preacher. I'll go be a youth pastor. What is it? And He answered. And He said, I want you to go open a coffee shop. And I'm like, what? This isn't some godly, great calling in life. No, I'm lying, really. I was super excited, honestly. I was like, this is awesome, you know. I get to go run a coffee shop, open a coffee shop. God's given me this vision. And I knew for a fact that He did. And I got up from that prayer that day, and I was telling everybody, man, God told me I'm going to open this coffee shop, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. And I was telling my family and my friends, and they all thought I was nuts. But I knew what the Lord had spoke to me. And so 6 months outside of Teen Challenge, we opened the Life House, which was an all-organic coffee shop and cafe. Before that, another big blessing that the Lord had placed upon me was my wife. You know, I got out of Teen Challenge. She was moving down from Guatemala. I was coming out of Teen Challenge, and we connected. It was a God thing, and we've been together ever since. So I'm very thankful for that. Can't leave you out. We're doing the coffee shop thing. We got a few partners in it. And our original idea, our original motive of this is a God thing. You know, this is a ministry. This is something that we're going to use to reach out to the community. And this is awesome. And so we set the groundwork down. And let me, you know, when God sets something in motion, He does it right. And I'll tell you the truth. God did that coffee shop right. Not me. God. That ended up being one of the most successful coffee shops in Dallas, Texas. Still is. Still growing. And I only say that to give God the glory. I take no pride in that. I could not have done that. Even though I was a part of it, I really didn't do much anyways. I just offered what I did, what I could, and it wasn't much. But I say that to say also, we set the foundation, we got off the ground, we were going, and success started to come, and the relationship started to tear apart. Man, the enemy just started to have his way. And there was nobody that was innocent of fault. You know, I mean, just gossip, backbiting, just not good. And trying to resolve it, trying to get through it. Me and my wife are struggling through it. We're trying to, you know, we have each other. But that's really about all we had at this point. And I remember one day we were going on a trip to pick up some hay bales to start a kid's maze for October for Halloween. And we drove by Teen Challenge, which was where I had went through Teen Challenge in Texas. And I remember the Lord just lit a fire inside of me that I hadn't had in a long time, because I was kind of living in the world day to day, really. That's just the honest truth. You know, I still love Jesus. He had filled me so much that all I could do was still think about Jesus. But in a lot of ways, you know, I was really surrounded by worldly things. And it took a toll on me. But this day, we were driving by Teen Challenge, and I remember he just ignited a flame inside of me. And I didn't necessarily connect that with, well, I'm going to go be with Teen Challenge. But I connected it with, the Lord is calling me to get back involved with people who are going through the same things that I went through, and share my testimony and share that the Lord delivers. So I went home, man. I couldn't sleep that night. I was so riled up with this knowing that God had revealed to me the next direction. I couldn't sleep. I remember praying, Lord, if this is of you, great, but I ask you just to take it away for right now, because I got to get some sleep. And, you know, and he did, and he gave me peace. And, you know, I went through Teen Challenge with Andy Collins, who is the director of the Teen Challenge here. And we were conversing back and forth. One thing leads to another. The Lord makes it clear, you know, you're supposed to be up here. So we pack up. We come up here. Been up here for about 8 months now. You know, I was very fortunate to be able to get involved here. I love music. I love worshiping the Lord. I love, you know, just being able to use my gifts and my talents for Him. So I'm very fortunate to be a part of The Voice, very fortunate to be a part of Teen Challenge. I'm just doing my best to serve the Lord. You know, I was thinking about it earlier, and I was just like, you know, what am I going to say? And I'm like, yeah, I could step up here and really act like I got it all figured out, you know. But the truth is, I do not. I don't have it figured out. I'm not even close. I'm struggling, to be honest with you. You know, let me be vulnerable with you. I'm struggling, man. Because I know that the Lord has placed a call on my life that is much greater than anything that I see right now. And I want to fulfill that. I want to fulfill that, but can I be honest with you? Day to day, I find myself, you know, just kind of stepping back, and then I'll make a couple steps forward, and then I'm back, and it's just like, oh, it's frustrating, you know? But I'm struggling for Christ. I'm struggling towards Christ, and I believe that that will never change. You know, I am struggling, but I'm pushing towards Christ. I'm pushing towards Christ. I'm not going to give up. I will not give up. I owe the Lord my life. And I'm thankful for His grace, because I need it every day. I'm thankful for His mercy, because I need it. I'm thankful for just the fact that He delivered me in the way that He did. You know, I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for His miracle that He decided to do in my life that day. So I'm here to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is my Savior. He is my King. He is powerful. He is able. He is real. He is living. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And I will proclaim His name until the day that I die, and in that day I'm going to be with him. I'm thankful. I owe my life, and I want to share that with you. I want to share that with the world. Thank you. All right, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, sovereign God. Lord, let us just quiet ourselves before you right now, Lord. Rest on us, Holy Spirit. Lord, there's many testimonies in this room of miracles that you've done. You are alive, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross that day. That I don't have to be bound and condemned to my reality, what should be reality for me, Father. But you took that away from me, and now my reality is you. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the word that you've prepared today, Father. And I ask that you speak. I know that you will speak, Lord. Just speak through Bob, Lord, and let your will be done in this place. We give you glory, Father. We give you praise. We give you thanks. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks. Thanks. Right. Thanks, Josh. Is that yours?
All right, if you have your Bibles, I should have it up on the screen, and I believe that his testimony and everything that's happened again tonight has a real purpose, and I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and we're going to have it up on the screen shortly, and we're going to go through this. Now, this verse, I've heard so many people preach this verse. I have shared this verse over and over. We have, how would I say it? Pressed into these two verses, and the Lord has revealed so much within it. And so we know that it's just a major, major verse that we need to comprehend. We know that the first 11 chapters, pretty much Paul is speaking about preparing the people to really understand these two verses, chapter 12. And if we can get a hold of these verses, we would understand that God is so much for us. And I love the fact that Josh shared that I'm weak, that I'm going through things, because all of us are weak and broken people. And really, that's part of the struggle that we have, is to think that we are more than we should think we are, because we all go through things. And the Lord wants to help us through that. We know that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We know the scripture, but exactly what he was speaking about, the fact is that, you know, I struggle, but yet I love him and I'm pursuing Jesus with everything I have. I can tell you up here, because this is what you need to know, especially from a lot of leaders and pastors, is that I struggle. And I struggle in things also, and we all do. But we press in, and the fact is that God loves us so much that he knows what he was getting himself into when he said he was going to love you. Okay, I want to say that again. He knew what he was getting himself into. He knew all your weaknesses. He knew everything about you. He knew your struggles and the ones that you were going to have. But he says, you know what? You're worth it. And what the enemy was trying to do to Josh is the same thing he tries to do to each and every one of us. He tries to lie to us. He tries to tell us that we're not worth it, that we're not measuring up, that we're not good enough, that we're failing all the time. And the Lord is saying, I love you. Come on, my son, my daughter, walk with me. And there is this unconditional love that continually walks after us. None of us in this place have an excuse, really, for what is available to us. We might make excuses, but Jesus' love and his mercy endures forever. And he has allowed every one of us to engage and be a part of his mercy. He said, come on, my mercy will get you through. I want to say that. My mercy will get you through. My grace will get you through. I know you're going to mess up. I know you're going to struggle. But my mercy is going to get you through, because I view you through my mercy. I view you through my grace. I view you through my love. I don't view you the way you view yourself and others view you. I view you through mercy. And that's true. And that's truth. And so when you look at yourself in the mirror, or you begin to beat yourself up, understand this. That is a lie from the pit of hell, because God looks at you through mercy. and through grace. Every one of us, when we begin to know Christ and say we're going to walk with the Lord, we've got big things in mind, and we think we're going to do these big things for God, and we want to do those big things for God. There's nothing wrong with that, because greatness is in us, because He is in us, and He is great. And so we desire to do those things. But God really doesn't want so much you to do big things. He wants you. You. Intimacy with you. Knowing you. That's what He wants. He doesn't want you to just have this big ministry. He wants you first and foremost before He even opens up the door to anything else. And everything else is not worth it if you don't have that door open to just Him. You'll find out that it's your struggle. And you'll find this out. He loves you so much that in the midst of your ideologies or high vision or what you think God's called you to do, He'll break you so that you can surrender to it, so He can give it back to you the way that you need to walk in it, through humility and love and mercy. Because God views you through His mercy. Through His mercy. He doesn't view you from the lies that you believe. From the lies that the enemy tries to sow into you, that you're no good, you don't measure up. He doesn't view you from a position of being powerless and trapped and living in fear. He doesn't view you from a place of shame. He views you from a place of mercy. His lenses have mercy and love that He looks through, and He accepts you right where you are. Most people won't do that, but Jesus will. That's why it's so important for you and I to make sure that our focus of affection is upon Him, and first upon Him and foremost upon Him. We have to know that we develop that relationship with Him that causes us to be sustained in this day and the days ahead. And so my heart for you is for you to walk in the passion, the power, and the purpose that God has for you. For you to walk in intimacy, for you to walk in mercy, for you to walk in grace, for you to abound in the place of love. And God says, I'm going to open up so much to you. But it's exactly what Josh said. It's the way that I open things up to you. I don't want any one of you in this room, no matter what age you are, no matter what you've been through, to give up or to quit or to think that it's too late. It is not. God is with you. God wants you to move in your destiny and purpose. And that's what this scripture is about. When you look at this scripture, a lot of people don't understand these two verses. But these two verses has everything to do with people that are living in despair or pain or sorrow or hurt. And these two verses are speaking to that despair. Again, you can look at these two verses and you look at them from different angles. You can get so much out of them. You can mind out so much revelation and truth from these two verses. But Paul sets the whole book up to hit these two verses. And he says this. And I'm going to read it twice. He says, I beseech you, therefore. Basically, Paul's come to the place, he's saying, I beseech you, I'm pleading to you, I'm pleading to you. Brethren, and here it is, by the mercies of God, by the mercy of how God views you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. What does that mean, your bodies, your body, that you present all that you are, all that you are made up of, all your DNA, who you are as a person, that you would present everything and surrender everything to Him. That's what that scripture is saying, that you would present everything, your bodies, everything that you are to God, everything. Present your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Or another word for that is pleasing to God. Pleasing to God. Which is your reasonable service. That's what Josh was saying. No matter what, I'm going to present myself. I'm going forward with Jesus. I'm not viewing myself from a standpoint of condemnation or my faults. I'm viewing myself from a standpoint that I'm going forward with Jesus. And that's what that scripture is saying right there. That He's presenting Himself. You're presenting yourself to move forward in the things of the Lord. Reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. What that scripture is saying in that moment, it's saying many things, but what it's saying is, and this is big, don't let yourself find your identity by how other people view you in this world. Don't be conformed to the standards of this world. Don't let people say to you, well, you're not doing anything, you're nothing. Be conformed to Christ, right? And so don't be conformed to this world, the ways of this world, of how they function or how people view you. Don't be conformed to that. Don't allow yourself to be judged, because when you begin to enter in, when people are saying things about you, now you're entering into a judgment. But God's saying, have your relationship in such a way that you don't enter into that judgment, that you're not conformed to the ways of this world and how the world views things as far as success. God says for you not to view the ways of the world as far as success, but find success in knowing him and walking with him and knowing who he is. Here's another thing. You got to understand that you might not be in doing a whole lot right now in ministry, but just a few things that you do for the Lord and to people and ministering are huge in the heart of God. And he views that through mercy. He views that Josh walked up here today. He led worship today. He's been struggling today. He knows that. He knows what he got himself into when he said to Josh in that trailer, what he said to him. And he knew what he got himself into. He knew everything about Josh. But he said, come on, Josh. Come on, Josh. Don't give up. Don't stop. And so Josh leads worship. We raise our hands. We worship God. Josh stands up here, and because of the word of God that says we overcome him, the enemy, by the shed blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, right there God is saying, yay, Josh! You didn't hear it, but I guarantee you it's being said. You know why? Because that's amazing love. And that's how God views every one of you. That's how he views me. When I mess up, God says, come on, you can still do this. No, I can't. Yes, you can. No, I can't. Yes, you can. No, I can't. And then, as Josh said too, he tricks you. You start going a different direction. Next thing you know, he's got you right back on the same path he had you before. And you're going, okay, all right, I surrender. I give up. Okay. You guys are called. You guys have a destiny. You guys have a purpose. You are not to live in the mundane. You're not to live in a place of sorrow. You may have sorrows, and you will have sorrows, and you will have times of grieving, but God has called you to something, and the enemy is trying to destroy so many families and so many people, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Part of the renewing of the mind, there's so many definitions. Lon and I, we can talk about that and share about it from different perspectives. But part of the renewing of your mind, part of it, there's many different ways that God will renew your mind. And he's renewing your mind with all the lies that we believe. We understand that. And strongholds that get in there. We understand that. But he's renewing your mind with his mercy. He's renewing your mind when you grab hold of the truth that you mean to tell me he views me through mercy? And God gives you that revelation and you're going, really? Yeah, but no, he views you through mercy. He renews your mind through truth. And it's his truth that begins to really deal with all the lies and the shame. It's his truth. It's his truth. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, okay, look at that, that you may prove, what does prove mean? It means that you may experience, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it says that by the renewing of your mind, this scripture is so powerful, it's saying that by the mercy of God, by how he begins to speak to you so that you can prove or experience what is the good and acceptable perfect will of God. What is the good and acceptable perfect will of God is this, that he loves you unconditionally. And that's what that's saying. That's part of that. It means many other things, but that's part of it. That's how he views you, that you can experience it. And when you experience it, you're set free. When you experience it, you're not dependent on things that you were before. Because God begins to renew your mind with his mercy and his grace and his truth, and all of a sudden you have a makeover of identity change. And all the things that are left over, what I want to say, residual things that the enemy's put there, get just shoved right out the door. Because now you view yourself from a perspective of how God loves you. Now you can engage yourself in service. Now you can walk things out. Now you can begin to love people that are unlovely. Amen. This is just so good. So God wants to do this. God wants to empower our hearts and renew our minds so we can begin to have healthy relationships in the kingdom of God and healthy relationships in our family. We won't make it any other way if we don't allow ourselves to be renewed with the way that God thinks, the way the truths that God have, because we won't get along. We won't be able to walk this thing out. But when our minds are renewed by the mercy and the grace and the love of God, we can begin to function together. We can be healthy and have healthy relationships. The whole rest of chapter 12 is about the kingdom relationships moving forward. God says to present ourselves before him, that we're holy, pleasing, that we evaluate where we're at. This scripture is so significant in equipping us so that we don't live in the place of despair, but we live in the place of life. The enemy wants this truth far from you. The enemy wants this scripture far from you. He doesn't want you to grab hold of the revelation in the depth of this. He doesn't want you to dip in the well of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and really begin to understand the revelation of what it says to you, because he wants you to live in a lie. He wants you to live defeated. He wants you to live condemned. He wants you to live in shame. He wants you to be powerless. He wants you to be fearful and live in fear. Part of the testimony, I when he was sharing his testimony, I was going back to my testimony and different things. And I remember the scripture that he hasn't given me the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound thinking mind. And I remember how I was so overrun with fear and anxiety for years. And sometimes just for 6 months, I couldn't even get out of a basement because of fear and anxiety. And he knew that he was going to use that to destroy me. And so even when I came back to the Lord, because I didn't have people really pouring into my life at that time, except going to just kind of a traditional church, I said that scripture every day and did everything I could to believe that scripture. And guess what happened? I began to believe it. Because I held on to it. And he didn't give me a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound thinking mind. I'm not going crazy, because I thought I was. And a lot of people around me did too. You can ask them. The enemy wants you to believe you're always coming up short, that everything you do is not good enough. That's what he wants you to believe. That's his plan. But that's not what this scripture says. This scripture says something completely different. Stand with confidence. I wrote this down. Stand in confidence from this night forward in the mercy of God. Stand in confidence in the mercy of God, of how he views you through his mercy. We all sign up to have a big impact. There's no doubt. And that's good. But God wants you to find out that his will is pleasing to your life. It's in that scripture. That his will is pleasing to your life. Give yourself wholeheartedly to the Lord. The devil's going to tell you it's not worth it. But man, oh man, it is worth it. Stand in confidence in the mercy of God. Your emotions begin to change by the renewing of your mind. Your emotions, your behavior, it changes. When the Lord begins to come and speak to you and bring truth to you, God's will for your life is good. I want to say that very clear. God's will for your life is good. It is good. Grab hold of it. Grab hold of it. If you want, man, here's another one. If you want more passion for Jesus, then find out how passionate Jesus is about you. Find it out. But he won't leave you alone. He will not leave you alone. I don't hear him. You will. Keep pressing in. Keep moving forward. He's a God of consuming love that wants us, that wants to be with us. Jesus knew what he was getting into. He calls you by name. It says not to be conformed to this world. Basically, what I'm saying is, don't identify with the spirit of this world. Do you guys get what I'm saying? Don't identify with the spirit of this world. Do whatever it takes to get away from the spirit of this world, and don't identify with it. Identify with the spirit of Christ, the spirit of the Lord, and what he's saying, and what he has to say for you. Know that you're accepted. As Josh even said earlier, even in your weakness. Many live in despair, thinking that they're not good enough and they don't measure up. Understand that you do. It's acceptable. There's great joy that comes when you know that he accepts you right where you are. That the will of God, let me just say this, and we'll close with this, that the plan and the will of God for your life is good. And it's worth it. And of course, proof. Our lives are to give evidence. Our lives, and Josh's life today, Josh standing up here and sharing his testimony, gave evidence that God is good. Amen? It gave evidence of that. And so God wants you to do the same thing in different ways. I'm spitting all over the place tonight. I don't know what that is. And James 4:4 says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. One closing thing. In James 4:7 it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. In 2 Timothy 1:7, God's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power and a sound thinking mind. Tonight God gives you an opportunity to begin to deal with and pull down the strongholds and to cast them down. To dismantle the mental strongholds that the enemy has in your life and what he's speaking to you. And addictions, so that you can be free. That you can walk in the freedom of God. Your mind will come in agreement with the word of God. And you're going to become addicted to truth and not addicted to lies. Amen? Why don't you stand? There's so much more that we could share about that scripture. But I just want to, again, let's read it one more time together, and then we'll pray. And you take time tonight. That's what this is about. This is about you finding out the depth and the revelation of Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, Josh, by the mercies of God, by the mercy of God, that you present all that you are, a living sacrifice, holy. Is not the blood of Jesus wipe away all your sin? Acceptable, that you're pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the way it thinks, how it views you, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And my focus tonight on the renewing of the mind is that your mind is renewed with understanding his mercy toward you, that you may experience what is the good and acceptable and perfect and the perfect will of God. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask that you would empower each and every heart in here to walk this out. That your transforming mercy and grace, that we would give ourselves to you wholeheartedly. That you would renew our minds. That we would present and bring everything. We give our body, our whole person of who we are to you. Because you desire to commune with us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this night. And may this truth go deep. And Lord, I thank you for this handout that was given on Sunday these 10 things God wants you to remember. And I feel it goes right along with this. So, Lord, I pray it over them. What God wants every one of you to remember, that he's for you, that he loves you, that he believes in you, that he will not fail you, that he will be with you, that he will provide for you, that he will bless you, that he will give you rest, and he will strengthen you, and he will answer your prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This was a good night. God bless you, and go in peace. And hopefully that you hold on to that truth, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, in Jesus' name.